Matthew in chapter number 12 tonight. We'll read from verse 38 to verse 42. The Bible says there, everybody found your spot, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now, I want you to know that almost every time they called him Master, they were practically mocking him. Now, they weren't calling him Master because they thought he was really their Master. They were just calling him Master because everybody else called him Master. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of anybody doing that today? That they just do it out of mockery because somebody else done it and they just want to be like somebody else? That's kind of how these scribes and these Pharisees were most of the time. They did not see Jesus as their Master. You'll find that when they crucified him on the cross. Anyways, verse 39, the Bible says, But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. So he calls them out. Hey, do you know Jesus was straightforward on sin?
Amen.
Amen. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to him, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. He said, For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, the Bible says, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Amen. Verse 42, the Bible says, The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen, friend. He ain't here yet, but he's coming. And he's a whole lot greater than Solomon. Amen. He's a whole lot greater than Jonas. Jonah, he's going to be a whole lot greater than you. He's going to be a whole lot greater than me and everybody else upon this earth. But one day he's coming, and he's going to come in that great, majestic, and he's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will come to wreak havoc upon this place. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your night, for you allowing us to come back into the house of God. We ask you, God, tonight to help us. Lord, help me to preach to the unction and the power for these people here. Lord, help me help them. God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is where the Lord would have us this evening. And as I have I'm sincerely amazed at the goodness of God. And I noticed a few things that I've read many times. But now this text, I've read this text many times. You probably have too. We've all heard probably the text in here where it says that just as Jonas was in the belly of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. And that confirms that Jesus will die. He's telling them that he's going to die, and he's telling them that there's going to be a resurrection from that death. And at this point, but don't you know that God's got everything that we have in this life? Don't you know God's got it? Y'all ever heard that? God's got it. God's got this thing. And whatever we got to deal with, God's got it. But as Jesus walked this earth, he made some amazing statements while he was here upon this earth. Here's a few that I wrote down. He said in the book of John in chapter 8 and verse 58, he said, Before Abraham was, I am. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and the Father are one. He said there in John 14 and verse 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He said there in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said there in John in chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. These are amazing statements. And through those statements like that, Jesus plainly declared who he was, what he was, what he was upon this earth for, and that was to save sinners. He said in Luke chapter 10, he said that I come, he said he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came here, to seek and to save them. You know that Jesus seeks them too? Isn't that something right there? You know you saved in here? I'm saved too, and He sought after me. Yeah, man, He could have left me where I was, friend, in the mire. Remember, we just preached on that. He could have left us where we was, but it's enough to shout about that He sought after me. He had enough love in His heart to send His Spirit to seek after me, to knock on my heart's door. What a good, good God He is. But His enemies were not content to take Him at His word. And in our text, they demanded a sign. They wanted a sign in their text to prove what was going to happen. At some point in time, they wanted a sign. They didn't want to hear a thing that He had to say. They just wanted they just wanted Him to perform a miracle to prove that He was the Messiah. And this and that, that's what they always got Him to do that stuff. But His response to them was very clear. Very clear. They will receive no sign but the sign of Jonah. No sign but the sign of Jonah, just as Jonah spent 3 days in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, the heart of the earth. Jesus would spend 3 nights and 3 days in that heart of the earth, and that is underneath us, the grave, as you know it. He went down, he led the captivity captive, He done all of those things in those 3 days and three nights, and He fulfilled that sign when He arose from the grave. He fulfilled it, but then Jesus pronounced judgment upon them. He pronounced judgment upon them. He told them that the men of Nineveh would testify against them in the judgment. Now how about that? He told them they would testify against them in the judgment. Nineveh had repented under the preaching of Jonah, and then after they repented, after the big revival that happened there in Nineveh, Jonah went and shut it up inside of the, and put himself in a corner and sit there and just pouted a little bit, because he didn't get just what he wanted to get. Can I just tell y'all something tonight, that you ain't gotta pout just because God doesn't give you what you want? Yeah, man, God's got what He's gonna do, and what He's gonna do is going to happen. You can like it or lump it. Simple as that. I mean, all I got to say about it, but under the preaching of Jonah, the whole city of Nineveh repented. The whole city of Nineveh repented, but a greater than Jonah had come. Excuse me, a greater than Jonah had come, and they wouldn't hear Him. They wouldn't hear Him. And then He told them that the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, would testify against them as well. She traveled a great distance and a great effort with great expense to hear the words of Solomon, but a greater than Solomon had come. A greater than at this time, this is prophecy. It's not prophecy right now. It's already been fulfilled. He's already rose from the dead. The Queen of Sheba. Well, it's half prophecy. There's still a time of judgment that's going to come. And at this point, what it's talking about, that greater than Solomon had come, and the Jews refused to listen to Him. They refused to listen to what He had to say. They didn't have to travel to hear Him, friend. Y'all realize they didn't have to. Jesus preached in many places, but the place that He only preached one time was in His hometown, to His people. He couldn't preach to them. Mark chapter number 4, Mark chapter number 5, somewhere around there, it talks about the fact that Jesus couldn't even preach to His own people because He hindered. He was hindered. How about that? You ever seen, I mean, you talk about hindering the hand of God. Yeah, man. But I tell you that as we see all this, they didn't have to travel to hear Him. They just would not come. You know, it don't take a whole lot to go to church. I bet you there's more people down there in Columbus at the singing than there are here tonight. Yeah, man. You know, I love the singing. I've sung in the singing, all that. I love Brother James Metcalf. I love him to death. And you know what? He's a faithful man. He stuck with it for years and years and years and years and years, even when people didn't come. And I salute him for that. Amen. And he's been faithful to the radio station. He's been faithful to all that. But let me just tell you something. What needs to be done is people in this world today need preaching. I mean, singing ain't gonna do a whole lot for you. Now, I know that's hard preaching. I understand that people don't like that kind of stuff. But the Bible does not say, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And hearing by the singing. No. It's not what it's talking about. Now I understand. But that's just me. That's just how I feel about what the Bible says. But when Jesus said that a Gentile queen had more faith than they did, I could only imagine that it made them mad. Scribes and Pharisees, Jesus called them in Matthew chapter 23, a few verses over, he called them scribes and Pharisees, you generation of vipers, you hypocrites. And he called them and called them out. But here we are in this text. But I want to take the text here and I want to move somewhere else in just a minute. And I want to take the thought that Jesus said and preach on it for a little while. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I want to show you that that still stands true today. Yeah, man, it still stands true today. Jesus was and Jesus is greater than Solomon. Yeah, man, let's turn over the book of 1 Kings for a minute. 1 Kings, and that's what we'll preach tonight. 1 Kings in chapter number 10. The Bible says, and I'll go through these verses, but I ain't going to read them exactly. I'm going to skip over them real quick. The Bible says in verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she goes on in verse 5 and verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cup bearers in his absence. But when he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I had heard in mine own land of thy acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came. Anybody remember over there in the book of Genesis where Noah was preaching, it's going to rain, 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 it's going to rain. He preached it over and over. And like Randy Bain says, he hit the same banjo string for 120 years of it's going to rain, going to rain, going to rain, going to rain. That's exactly what happened. He preached it and nobody believed it until the ark door shut. And God shut it. And then as they were swimming around the best that they could to keep their head on top of water, I'm sure they were screaming, man, I wish I'd have believed him. Man, I wish I'd have believed him, but I tell you something, friend, as Solomon is here in this text and the Queen of Sheba comes, she did not believe it from what she heard. She had to see it with her own eyes. She went there and she said, how be it, I believe not the words until I came. And my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I had heard. Amen. Thank God. Then she goes on in verse number 9. I don't know if Queen of Sheba was saved or not, but she said in verse number 9, blessed be the name of thy God, thy Lord. Blessed be the name blessed be the Lord thy God. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. She goes on, brags a little while. Yeah, man, let me tell you something, friend. I want to examine the facts that related to King Solomon, and I want to see what the Bible has to say about Solomon's glory and how Jesus is greater. Everybody all right before we get started? Yeah, man, I know that was a long intro. Y'all just bear with me. I want to preach on the subject for a little while. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Notice three ways tonight. Number one, now I want everybody to listen, and you'll get some Bible truth out of this, alright? Amen. Jesus is greater in His ways. I don't know much about Queen Sheba, but from studies I was able to find that she probably was somewhere in the area of Ethiopia or somewhere around that. And as this pagan queen reigned in her country, the sailors and the merchants that passed through into this, they shared the word of the great witness of King Solomon back there in Jerusalem. She heard it. She heard it. They sailed in and they would say, man, King Solomon back there, he's a man. Man, he's a good man. Man, he's got so much. You ought to see that palace. You ought to see that temple. You ought to see this. You ought to see that. She heard of his great wealth. The Bible says in verse number 7, howbeit I believe not the words, until I came, my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me, thy wisdom and prosperity exceeding exceedeth the fame which I had heard. And I tell you something, friend. She heard of the great riches that flowed into the kingdom of Solomon. The Bible says in verse 28 of chapter number 9, it says, and they came to Orphir and fetched from thence gold 420 talents and brought it to King Solomon. Amen. There we go. From my best knowledge, what that equals up to is about 28,060 pounds. And in today's society, that's worth $810 million. It's not all, though. That's not all, though. And then he goes on in verse 14 of chapter 10, the Bible says, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year. 1 year, this is 1 year pay, was 603 and 6 talents. Anybody catch that number? Yeah. 666. 603 and 600 talents was given to him. Now I want you to know what that equals up to. That equals up to about 644,480 pounds, and in today's worth is worth about $1 billion. That's his 1 year pay. Right? Right? I mean, if you can't get excited about Jesus, get excited about money. Yeah, man, I'm just kidding around, but the Bible says beside that, he had of the merchant men and the traffic of the spices, spice merchants and all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of that country. He had a lot of stuff. And, you know, Solomon's throne in chapter 10 and verse 18, the Bible tells us about his throne. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best gold. That's good gold right there. The throne had six steps. That's a big throne. And the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on each side on the place of the seat, and two lines stood beside the stays. You ought to study them stays. And 12 lines stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the six steps. There was not the like made that like made in any other kingdom. He had a throne. Solomon had a throne, but can I just tell you something, friend? Jesus is greater than Solomon in his great wealth. Amen. He can meet every need, whether it be physical, materialistic, or spiritual. Solomon can provide meat. Jesus can multiply loaves into fish and fishes and to feed 5,000, not counting the kids and the wives. Solomon could buy anything that he desired, but Jesus can take plain water and turn it into wine, friend. Jesus is the grapevine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Amen. That's what Jesus done there. But let me tell you, Solomon sat on a throne that was built and that was upheld by man's hands. But Jesus occupies an eternal throne, and ain't nobody going to kick him off of it. Jesus is better than Solomon when it comes to his great wealth. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, I don't know if I can turn to all these verses tonight in this Bible and find it well, but 45 and verse number 6, the Bible says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is right scepter. What's that saying? It's just saying that his throne is forever and ever. Amen. Y'all know. Y'all know, Jocelyn, you know that Jesus ain't ever going to be kicked off of his throne because ain't nobody big enough to kick him off, right? He's big. He's stronger than you. He's stronger than me. He's stronger than you, Jace. He's stronger than me. But guess what, friend? It's one day I'm going to be beside him. I'm joint heirs to the throne of God. Joint heirs. That means I get what he got. Y'all believe that? Thank God that I get, well, I mean, I can be excited about that. He's great in wealth. But she heard about the Solomon and his great wealth, but she also heard of his great works. His great works. Now she heard of the great kingdom that he had built. 1 Kings chapter 5 through 1 Kings chapter 9. You'll read all about that. She heard of the temple that he had constructed for his God. By the way, it took 7 years to build that temple. 7 years to build that temple. But she had heard of the great palace that he built for himself. Listen to this. I like Solomon. I think Solomon was a good man that God used. Well, let me just tell you something. There's something about it, and I couldn't prove it. I don't want to talk bad. I don't want to do any of that. But here's the thing. Then he spent 13 years on his own house. See the important, the weighing of the balance is there? Anybody? All I'm saying is that there's something there that is something that's big, and you could do some probably in-depth study about it and find some things. But nonetheless, he spent 7 years on that temple, and she's seen that. He spent 13 years on his house, his castle, his palace, whatever you want to call it. But let me just tell you, she heard of all the great works of Solomon. But let me just tell you, Jesus is greater than Solomon and his great works. Solomon builds houses of stone and of wood. But Jesus is building a household of faith, thank God. Ephesians 2 verse 12 and on, it tells us about that. Solomon laid down his riches to buy things. Jesus laid down his life to redeem sinners. Man, there's something about that, friend. Solomon came to the end of his life, and guess what he did? Died. Jesus came to the end of his life and died on the cross and rose on the third day. Amen. Matthew chapter 28 tells us there, verses 1 through verse 6, that angel of the Lord is sitting there. He says, behold, he is not here, for he is risen. Yes, amen. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. Solomon was nothing more than a weak human being. His power was earthly. His power was temporal. But Jesus is the supernatural, eternal Son of God. And His power is eternal.
Amen.
Amen, friend. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 tell you all about His power. Solomon was limited in His power. Jesus has all power and He can move mountains.
Amen.
Amen. Quench your thirst. He can save your soul.
Amen.
Whatever your need is, Jesus can do it.
Yeah.
Thank God. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power is given to me.
Yeah.
All power is given to me in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
Who gave him that power? God. Amen. Friend, I tell you, she heard of his great wealth. She heard of his great works when she come about. But also she heard of his great wisdom. The Bible says in verse 1 and through verse 3. And it talks about all that kind of stuff. I've done flipped a page here. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him a hard question. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not.
Amen.
Amen. Verses 6 and 7 talk about the wisdom of him. Chapter number 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. He even took God to give wisdom to Solomon. The Bible says in the book of James that any man lacks wisdom, he can ask God of it. Is that right? Yeah, man. I tell you something, friend. She heard of his great wisdom. She had heard of the intellect and his smartness and his wisdom and that he could answer all the deep questions that she came to prove him. She came to ask him. She came to do all that. She came to get her hard questions answered. Simple as that. But I'll say this, and you know what I'm going to say? Jesus is greater than Solomon when it comes to his great works. to His great wisdom. Excuse me. To His great wisdom. When it comes to His great wisdom, Solomon may have been wise. And he may have possessed a great knowledge. But Jesus created everything Solomon ever knew. Amen. He holds all the answers to all your questions. In fact, He is the answer to all your questions. Amen. He is the answer to all your questions, your problems that you have in life. They all rest and they reside in Him. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm enjoying preaching, whether you like it or not. Amen. She heard of His great wealth, His works, His wisdom, but also she heard of His great worship. The Bible says in verse number 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the famous Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Concerning, notice where the fame of Solomon was in the mind of this woman. It was in concerning the name of the Lord. By the way, Solomon had the same God you do. Amen. What impressed her more than his position, than his power, than his prosperity, his prestige, all of that stuff, was that she learned that Solomon's God was the one responsible for his glory. Yeah, man, she wanted to know more about Him. She wanted to know more about Solomon's God. She wanted to know about the connection that he had with God. History says that Solomon had a covered walkway from his palace to the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but from his palace to the temple, that's a big deal. That's a big deal when it comes down to it. She watched him worship and saw the sacrifices that he made to his God. And she was amazed. She was amazed. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 63 tells us there. Everybody okay? Tells us, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 2,000 and 20,000. Now notice these numbers. 2,000 and 20,000 and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. That's a lot of animals. I don't know how much it is, but that's 220,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. 340,000 animals. You ever seen that many? Then the Bible says in verse chapter 9 and verse 25, it says, and three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar which he built unto the Lord. And he burnt incense upon the altar that was before the Lord. So he finished the house. Well, let me just make you notice something about that last verse, if you didn't know it already. Is that by Jewish law, they only had to offer one sacrifice a year. But he wanted to be extra and offer three. You say, that don't mean much. It means a lot. When you only had to do one time and you give God that extra times, extra two times, it means a lot. You know, that little is truly much when God is in it. But let me just tell you something, friend. The more you give, the better you're ever going to be. And that's the truth. The more you give, the better you're ever going to be in this life. Once was by the law, two were by willingness. And God said that it's a good thing and it's a faithful thing. When a steward, it's one thing that's found faithful, that a steward is found faithful. I can't quote that verse to save my life. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 or something. Somewhere around there. But God wants stewards faithful to that, willing to give things. Now, God ain't going to take nothing from you. Remember what I said last Wednesday night? Said that God, if you don't give to missions in accordance to your what you bring in, then God will make your what you bring in according to your missions. Ain't that something else? Ain't that something else? That's something to think about. Now, there's some things that we do inside a church and there's some things we don't do inside a church. And I'm just saying there. But anyways, as we go on into this, and as we see all this kind of stuff, is that this woman saw that Solomon had great worship. I haven't got past point one yet. But can I just say this, that Jesus is greater than Solomon in his worship. He's greater than Solomon. Solomon may have known how to go to the temple to make a sacrifice, but Jesus knows how to take lost sinners and save them by His grace and bring them into the presence of the living God. Ain't that something there? Jesus reconciles us to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, I think. It talks about us being reconciled. And I want you to understand what that word reconcile means. That word reconcile means to change or to exchange. So notice this. It gives the picture of exchanging one equal coin to another. Now remember what I said earlier, that we're joint heirs with Christ? And so if I go and I have four quarters, and I want a dollar bill, I can exchange those four quarters for a dollar bill. Everybody would do that. But what Jesus done is He exchanged dirty, rotten sinners. God exchanged dirty, rotten sinners for His darling Son. Now think about that. That's being reconciled unto God by His Son. Who reconciled us? Exchanged us. He literally gave His only begotten Son. Now, I don't know if y'all getting this. He gave His only begotten Son as a free price so that you could have eternal life.
Amen.
A clear exchange. Righteousness, filthy rags. Clear exchange. That's reconciliation. Thank God for reconciliation. Thank God I'm reconciled to God through Jesus. But thank God that when it comes to that, God sees us by our reconciliation. He sees us like His Son. Like His daughters. You know, He allows those who are separated from God by their sins to enter into the presence of God to worship. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God. Jesus is greater in His ways. Secondly, Jesus is greater in His wealth. Now, when the Queen of Sheba arrived at Jerusalem, she was astounded at the greatness of the king's wealth. The Bible tells us that in verse number 5. She was astounded at His wealth. You know, but she saw His possessions in verse number 4. The Bible says, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built. Verse number 13, it says, and King Solomon gave unto Queen of Sheba all her desire whatsoever she asked beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. She saw His possessions. She saw that His house. She saw His wealth. All the great things in which He had. But you know what I'm going to say. Is Jesus is greater than Solomon in His possessions. In His possession, Jesus owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills too. Y'all know that, right? Amen. Job in chapter number 41 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Who hath prevented me? That I should repay him. Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine, saith the Lord." It doesn't say saith the Lord, but Jesus Jehovah was answering back Job in that text, if you didn't know. Psalms chapter 24 verse 1, He claims it to be His. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 12, He claims it to be His. Beloved, let me just tell you something tonight. He owns it all, and He can take care of you, and He can take care of His people, and there are no shortages when it comes to God. Yeah, man, Jesus is greater than Solomon in His possessions. Then she saw His provisions. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "In the meat of His table, and the sittings of His servants, the attendants of His ministers, and their apparel, and His cupbearers, and His ascent, but which He went up unto the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her." Now, the simple fact is this. Imagine the massive amounts of food required to feed those who ate from His table. Well, let me just tell you, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 23, 22. The Bible says there, And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 60 measures of meal. 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep beside harts. That's besides the harts, besides the deer, besides the roebucks, and the fallow deer, and the fatted fowl. That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, 100 sheep is a lot. But here he is feeding an army is what he's feeding here. But can I just tell you something, friend? I tell you, Jesus is greater than Solomon and his provisions. Not only does he have it all, but he is willing to share it all with you and I. Thank God with those who will feed at his table. At his table. Thank God. I like what one of my favorite, I should be able to quote this, and I'm ashamed I can't. Philippians and chapter number 4 and verse number 19. The Bible says right there in that text, it says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." According to his riches and glory. The psalmist says in Psalms 37:25, "I've been young, now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread." Amen, friend. I tell you, Solomon had enough at his table to feed those who ate there. Maybe as many as several hundred, I'm sure. But the Lord Jesus had enough to give us all some daily bread. Every single day, friend. If he can turn five, if he can turn the 2 loaves and the 5 fishes, did I get that backwards? If he can turn that into 2 fish, 5 loaves, whatever. If he can do that and feed 5,000 people. Some scholars say 25,000 people, if you want you added up in that time. Then I think he can take care of you.
Amen.
Amen. She saw his possessions, his provisions. She saw his people. Verse number 5 tells of all of his people there. It tells the sitting of the servants, the attendance of his ministers, the apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent. But anyways, all of those things, it tells us about his people there. She watched his servants as they ministered to him. She noticed how they sat in his presence, listening to his voice. She noticed how others quickly carried out his wishes. She noticed how different they were from others. Amen. Even the way they dressed, she noticed. Anybody notice that? She even noticed their apparel. How they dressed, she noticed. She was amazed because they received a joy from their service. Yeah, man, she saw his people. But can I just say this? Jesus is greater than Solomon in his people.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 calls us a peculiar people. A peculiar people. That means rare. A rare people. A rare breed is what we ought to be called. Amen. We ought to be called something different from this wicked world. We ought to stand out in this wicked world. We ought to be able to do that for his time. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what Ephesians tells us all about there. But his people love him and want to be around him and hear his word and do his will. And those who know him love him and want to serve him. Yeah, man, those who do that, he's greater than Solomon. Y'all know that, right? God's people are the best people. And when the queen of Sheba saw the riches of King Solomon, she was totally blown away. And I could imagine she thought, man, there's nobody like you. Y'all getting who I'm talking about here, Jesus. I mean, there's nobody like you. But I want to remind you, there's greater than Solomon among us today. There's greater, and his light through his people should shine so bright that others are blown away. He's much greater.
Amen.
Lastly tonight, Jesus is greater in his ways, Jesus is greater in his wealth, and I'll be done. Jesus is greater in his wonder. The Bible says in verse 7, "Howbeit I believe not the words until I came. My eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity is seen in the fame which I have." Amen. The Queen of Sheba had heard about Solomon, but she didn't believe it till she had seen it for herself. When she came to Solomon, he left her dumbfounded. flabbergasted. I mean, she was just in awe at the things that she saw there. Now notice, she's a queen too. A wicked woman, but she's a queen. She's a queen. Now, I notice her personal discovery in this. Her trip to Jerusalem led her to some personal conclusions about this king. Personal conclusions about this king. He was more wealthy than she had heard. That's what he said, your prosperity. He was more wealthy than she had heard. She got more from him than she gave him. Everybody getting that? I mean, she got more from him than she ever gave him. It works the same way with Jesus, friend. Amen. I've received far more than I have given. And let me just give you this advice. You'll never outgive God. You'll never outgive God in this world. He was more wealthy than she had heard. He was more wise than she had heard. She had heard that he was wise, but when he was able to answer every one of her questions, verse number one, verse number three, friend, let me tell you, Jesus, what he did in his wisdom, he gives the meaning of life. Beloved, I tell you, we do not know the half of his wisdom. Half of it. We don't know it. And then she also noticed he's more wonderful than she had heard. Amen. The word behold in this text there, it says there in verse number 7, behold, the half was not told me. Behold, that word behold there simply shows us, and if you look at that word behold, it comes from a root word. I don't know that root word. I'm telling you, I don't know it. But anyways, is what that root word does simply show is an exceeding surprise. An exceeding surprise. Like, wow, I've never seen something like so wonderful. That's the point I'm trying to make, just breaking it down. Wow, I've never seen something so wonderful. And as she came in and actually saw it all, she concluded that she hadn't ever heard the half of his glory and his greatness. Friend, let me just tell you something. I don't know if there's anybody lost. I don't know about any of that kind of stuff. But let me just tell you something in here. If you don't know Jesus on a personal, personal, personal level, let me tell you, you may see at church, you may see how great He is in others' lives. You may see how good He moves in others' lives, how He blesses this, how He blesses that. But friend, until you've experienced it yourself, you will never see it until you experience it. You gotta get it. The whole thing. The whole Jesus. Amen. He don't just give you half of himself. Why do we give him half of us? He gives you the whole thing, friend. Amen. I'll tell you this, my friends. No matter what we say about Jesus, we can never, ever, ever exhaust his glory, his power, and his wonder. Never can we ever exhaust it. Amen. Every person who has ever heard about Jesus Christ and has responded by coming to Him for salvation can echo everything that the Queen of Sheba had to say about Solomon. He will always give you back far more than you ever give up. Amen. He will reveal to you the answers to the questions and the problems of life. He will always prove to be far more glorious than anyone could ever design by mortal man, friend. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. He will leave you flabbergasted, astounded, and whatever other big word you want to use, amazed is what he'll do. Everybody who told me about Jesus before I knew Jesus lied to me. Amen. He's far better than they said. Amen, friend. Let me say that again. Whoever told me about Jesus before I knew Jesus lied to me because he's far better than they ever explained to me. Amen, friend. He is amazing. Amen. Y'all don't think he's amazing? Amen. He is amazing. He's far better than daddy, far better than mama. He's far better than everything you ever have in this world. Jesus is wonderful. Amen. She had the personal discovery. Then I'm done. There was her profound declaration. Verse 8 and verse 9, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Amen. She had a few things to say to Solomon about what she had saw when she arrived. And there his palace. She had a few things to say to him. Well, she had one thing to say about regarding his servants. She commented on the happy nature of his servants. How about that? You know, the reason why a lot of people don't want to get saved and a lot of people don't want to know your Jesus? Because half the time you look just like they do and act just like they do, and you look down and out and at them every single day. Am I right? I think I'm right. Yeah, man, I believe that's the problem with a lot of people, is because you ain't happy in your salvation. I think it'd do us good to go back when we first got saved and see where Jesus got us out of. Yeah, man, it might make us a little bit more happy when we realize how close to hell we were. How deep in the mire we were. How far down that he had to reach to pull me out, friend. I tell you, God's people ought to be the happiest people upon this earth. Amen. Yeah, man, regarding his servants, then also regarding his Savior. She had something to say about that. She said there in verse number 9, blessed be the Lord thy God. Blessed be the Lord thy God. She commented on the greatness of Solomon's Lord. She bragged on his goodness and bragged on his love. And she didn't even know him. Amen. I'm just saying, friend. She was convinced that there was nobody like Solomon or his God. Nobody. What a testimony that this king did here. Amen. One of the reasons I can say that a greater than Solomon is here tonight is because those who know him are a happy people. And like I said, God's people ought to be the happiest people. There may be worries, there may be problems, but the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 that God's people have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I say amen to that. We should be joy unspeakable, because joy comes from the inside. Happiness comes from a smile. Sometimes your cheeks might get a little tired. But friend, when you got Jesus on the inside of you, He will show you joy. In your trials, He'll show you joy. How do you know? Well, James tells us, James chapter 1, my beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, wanting nothing. The thing about it is, friend, is that when you got Jesus on the inside, you can be happiest on the saddest of days, because you ain't got to go to hell, because you got everything you need. You can eat. You still got a home with a roof over your head. You still got shoes on your feet. You still have so much stuff. You probably have gas in your car. You probably have a good job. You probably have a little bit of money in your pocket. You probably have all of those things. Kids, y'all probably got toys. You might have toys. You got good JD. You got good McKenzie. You got all those things in your life, friend. But let me tell you something. Without Jesus, it's empty. It's empty. But with Jesus, I am full of glory. Thank God. You can spell empty four different ways and it's still going to end up empty. And those same words, those same five letters, E-M-P-T-Y. That's empty. Right? M-P-T-Y. That's empty. M-T. That's what? That's still empty. And there's another way, and I can't remember it. But I tell you, all of it's empty. All of it's going to be empty. Because when you take away those five words, what you got on the page? Emptiness. How about that? It's empty without Jesus. But when you got Jesus, I promise you, as 1 Peter 1:8 says, you're going to have unspeakable joy. You're going to be full of glory, even in the hardest of times, because you know you got a God above you. And I promise you, you could probably lay your head on your pillow at night and still go to sleep.
Amen.
Thank God for that. In the depths of our souls, we can have joy. In the depths of our souls. He does that through His grace, though. He don't have to make you happy, but He does, because He loves you. Those who know Him who is greater than Solomon are those who like to brag on him and brag on his father. I'm thanking God tonight for Jesus.